from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
And a fly ball left field. Back is Reynolds toward the track, approaching the wall, and it's gone. An opposite field 3-run homer for Jock Peterson to give the Diamondbacks the lead, 5-4 in the seventh inning.
I mean, Beach had thrown 2 days in a row. I mean, we ended up having to go to him. I mean, he had a 100-mile-an-hour fastball away. Holy's got to be better. I mean, he's got to make a pitch. He's pitched in that spot for us all year, and it didn't work.
Pop up. Shallow right. Coming in is Carroll, and he will make the catch. And the D-backs take the series. Final score, Arizona 6, Pittsburgh 5.
Consider moving him to lower leverage?
No, I don't know. We're going to have to figure out. I mean, I'm a little pissed about how this game went to begin with, so try to figure that out during the off day.
To quote John Wehner, good morning, everybody. If we're looking on the bright side, Pirates did gain a half game in the NL Central over the weekend. Now just 6 games back in Milwaukee. So we should be celebrating, right? That one hurt. And I feel like once a week, we come on here, and we get behind these microphones. Once a week, I'm serious about this, and we say that was the worst loss of the season. It happens all the time, where you feel like they got one, and then they don't. And you couple that with the first game of the series, where they battled their asses off, and then still lost. You lose 2 games to Arizona, a team that you are fighting tooth and nail with for wild card supremacy. 2 games, you could have swept them. At minimum, you could have won 2 out of 3. And here we sit today. The Buccos win just 1 of the 3 and are 3.5 games back. And it doesn't get any easier because you got San Diego coming to town next and they're throwing 3 good starting pitchers at you. I feel like this loss was on 2 people. It's on Colin Holderman. Because, frankly, when you are called upon, you have got to perform.
Yep.
But it's also on Derek Shelton. I do not think that he managed a good game at all yesterday. Doran, your thoughts on the game, your thoughts on the series?
Well, they just can't get out of their own way. I mean, that's the thing. Like, that's really what comes to mind. You can't get out of your own way. And you want to, I don't know if it's too loyal, but it feels like it's too loyal. Like, in a situation with Holderman, you know that he's been just getting raked. Like, he has been. And I wanted to throw it back at you real quick to say, and for you to answer why you think Shelton, and what stuck out to you the most that you think that Shelton was a part of this blame.
So I'm
because
sitting,
I have one thing in my mind, but I want to know yours first.
Okay, well, I got a few. I mean, I'm sure we both got a few.
Your number one thing.
The number one thing. I was driving in my car to a family birthday party. Happy 10th birthday to Emma.
Nice. Happy birthday.
Yeah, who is my second cousin. Happy birthday to her. So I'm driving down Route 51. I was listening to the game on the radio, and Holderman's struggling, right? first and second, no outs, and you're just thinking, oh my God, Holderman is just, he's totally falling apart. And then I went back and I watched, and the umpire didn't do him any favors, but my God, still, you are brought in a situation, you got to get three outs, it's a clean inning, and you can't do that. And so, what do I hear? I hear that Jalen Beeks is warming up in the bullpen. Well, now you get to two outs, and you've got Jock Peterson coming up. Jock Peterson is 4-for-20 on the season against left-handed pitching. Colin Holderman has been ass. 3 1/3 innings his last four times out. He's given up 7 earned runs, 2 walks, 4 homers in 3 1/3 innings. His last 15 appearances, so this goes back a while now, 14 1/3 innings, 12 earned runs, 9 walks, and 5 home runs. So Colin Holderman has not been good, but he got you 2 outs, dang it. And you've got Jalen Beeks warming up in the bullpen, who you specifically targeted at the deadline to be able to get lefties out for you. You got Jock Peterson, and then after Peterson, you've got Josh Bell. Josh Bell is a much better left-handed hitter than he is a right-handed hitter. If you put Jordan Beeks on the mound, guess what happens? You have a lefty going up against a lefty in Jock Peterson, or they pinch hit. And then if you don't get him, you've got a lefty, and you've turned around Josh Bell. It was the most obvious move in the world. That's urgency. Manage like the game mattered as much as the game mattered. He did not. And I think it was just a dereliction of duty from Derek Shelton not to use your left-handed specialist that you purposefully brought in here just for such situation, and you leave in the guy that has sucked for the better part of a month plus. That we can start right there.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And another angle to it, too, is the whole bunt situation with Connor Falefa. I mean, you have a guy who was in his, first game?
Second game.
Yeah. And he had a double. He had a triple. And then you bunt him in that situation. And then your explanation was to potentially tie the game so you can get to Bednar.
Yeah, let's actually hear that from Derek Shelton, and then we'll react.
Play for the tie and then get Bednar in the game and see where we could go there. You know, I mean, he's a tough at bat. So I think that was, and he's usually, he's done a pretty good job bunting throughout his career. And it was a tough pitch.
Yeah. We talk about getting aggressive and trying to win games. I mean, you're trying to tie whenever you need to win games like that right there. Like I was just beside myself. I mean, maybe he can bunt or not, but like, that's not the situation. You have a guy that was hitting the ball, the guy that has grabbed momentum I couldn't wrap my mind around it. And then hearing the explanation, I was even more upset.
Yeah, it makes me really mad, dude, because one of the things we talked about with IKF is, and I realize he struck out a couple of times in his brief Pirates tenure, he's not a guy that strikes out a lot. Like the one thing you know about him is he handles the bat really well. It's not to say he's a world beater or anything like that, but earlier in the game when he hit the triple, he was just trying to hit the ball the other way because he understands the game. He's going to do the little things well. Now, he didn't do the little thing well there. When the bunt is put on, you still need to execute it. Right. So part of it falls on the player, and IKF did a terrible job. He bunted to the wrong side,
right,
and he popped the damn thing up, and he stabbed at it. You got to do a better job when called upon. But you're right. The decision to play for the tie is maddening when you've got a guy that is going to probably put the ball in play, and he's probably going to hit the ball the other way. So he might, even if he gets out, organically move the runners over. But at least then you've got the chance of the ball finding grass like it did 2 times already in this game. Now, I've seen and I've heard reasonable baseball people say they could see it both ways. They understand the bunt. I've also seen that people have said, well, if he did get the bunt down, then Brian Reynolds, his single would have tied the game. Okay. Here's where I'll disagree on that. I think they probably pitch around Brian Reynolds a little bit there.
Mm-hmm.
If IKF got the bunt down and you now had runners at second and third with one out, you've got the base open and you've got 2 lefties coming up against a lefty, and I think Cruz probably still strikes out, and then it all comes down to Brian De La Cruz, and as we know, he flied out. I don't know that you pitch to Brian Reynolds in that situation. So if there's one guy in the lineup in our brief time watching him and just everything we've known about him, everything we've read about him, that I think is actually going to do the right thing and put the ball in play and put it to the correct side of the field, I do think it's IKF. And I can't believe he called the bunt. And then the whole explanation of, we're playing for the tie.
The tie.
You've got three outs left. Three. And you're going to give one away. Even if it works, you're giving an out away.
With a guy that can hit.
With a guy that can hit, who was hitting 292 when you acquired him, and who had a double and a triple in the game. Another thing I didn't like. There's a long list here. We hit on two of them. I realize that because of the rain delay, your bullpen gets gobbled up a little bit in the prior game. I get that. But you got Woodford Reserve coming in the ninth inning when you're just trying to keep it on the status quo. You're trying to keep it to a one-run deficit, and Woodward goes in there, and he's facing one of the best hitters in all of Major League Baseball in Ketel Marte. Well, what did we expect to happen?
Yeah.
I know Woodford was good when they spot-started him, but you feel like they got away with one.
Yes.
And so if I never saw that guy again, I think we'd all be happier for it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You have him in there trying to hold the thing down in the ninth inning? You're just asking for that lead to get extended. You are just asking for the Diamondbacks to get an insurance run there. So I think that for all the praise we heaped on Derek Shelton last week for navigating his way through a couple of tough spots, I thought he in particular really screwed the pooch in this game. I feel like this one is a loss mainly on his ledger. It's not all on him. Cruz had a great at bat and still swings through a fastball. And Brian De La Cruz, first and third. You need to execute.
Mm-hmm.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought we were going to get the moment from Cruz because he seemed to just be on that fastball, just be on that fastball. And they tempted fate, and he swings right through it. You also need execution from your guys, and they did not get that. But I'll put this one mainly on Derek Shelton.
Do you think that that had a lot to do with Derek Shelton being so upset at the end of the game? Like, I know he wanted to place blame and did a little bit on Holderman and place blame on the whole the situation after the pitch and, you know, the – I guess the umpire, what was it?
That was silly. That was a weird situation.
But I think that he was a little bit upset with himself because it didn't pan out the way that he anticipated it to in the moves that he made, because they were almost obvious moves, especially with Holderman.
I think he was real mad because of everything you said. Like the umpire stuff, like Tim Benz from the Trib really pushed him on that, because Shelton, at one point we played the clip for you, said he was pissed and then started talking about other things. And Benzie, big time journalist that he is, like the Chihuahua. Well, what else had you pissed, Shelty? Was it the umpire? I'm not going to get into that. But yeah, but I think it's also Holderman was a strike away, and he leaves it on the plate, and it's the home run. IKF, when asked upon to bunt, I think Shelton really thought he could get the bunt down. I feel like he was mad because Paul Skeens wasn't as good as Paul Skeens usually is, too.
That, too.
So when you wrap it all together, you've got this 4-0 lead with Skeens on the mound, and then when Skeens gets pulled, you have Holderman, who does get the two outs and two strikes, and he doesn't do it, and then IKF, and then you're first and third with one out. Nobody came through for the manager, either. And so I think he probably today will look in the mirror and go, I could have done this or this or this, But I think he was mad at his guys.
Mm-hmm.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.